Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Your future is important. Take time to plan for what can go right. Talk to a financial broker about a Zurich pension.
Wait till you hear this statistic. In the last 2 months, and this is just the last 2 months alone, 25,000 extra Electric Ireland customers have fallen into arrears with their bill payments. It brings a total number of Electric Ireland customers in arrears to 125,000. And that is an awful lot of households. And that's according to new figures the company gave to the Eireachtas committee today. Two members of that committee join me now. Timmy Dooley is a Fianna Fáil senator, and Senator Lynn Boylan is from Sinn Féin. You're both very welcome to the programme. We obviously have a, and we know this for some time, a crisis on our hands. But let's start with the a topic that was much versed and much discussed today at the committee, disconnections and the fear of disconnections this winter. Lots of fear around about energy customers being disconnected. And we know there's a moratorium in place until the end of February, but there are concerns about those on pay-as-you-go plans. Now, before we begin our discussion, Timmy, and then let's take a listen to what Pat Fenlon from Electric Ireland told the committee earlier today.
Disconnections are, and always will be, a last resort. There's a regulatory moratorium on disconnections for the winter period for vulnerable customers. Electric Ireland has recently launched another hardship fund of €3 million, similar to the one in place during COVID, which will provide support to Electric Ireland customers who have difficulty paying their bills. Access and administration of the fund and issuance of energy credits will be managed by St Vincent de Paul and Money Advice and Budgeting Service, better known as MABS.
And that's Pat Fenlon from Electric Ireland. Timmy Dooley, disconnections, a last resort. But in what I would put to you, still an option. In the middle of a crisis now, is that right?
No, I don't accept. Let's not scare people into the notion that there's going to be a wide-scale group of people cut off. There's a moratorium there. The social welfare code is there. There's supplementary welfare payments available to assist people. MABS are there to assist people getting back on track. St Vincent de Paul are there to do this. So let's show what the supports are there. There is the moratorium, and I'm confident that that will be, has to be adhered to by all energy.
It's not a moratorium for everyone, isn't that correct?
No, it's for vulnerable individuals. But there is very clear stopgap measures that are there with Vincent de Paul, with social welfare, and with MABS. I mean, the energy companies are saying to us, and I'd have a lot of difficulty with some of what Pat Fenlon said today, but in relation to the programme of cutting people off, I don't think that that's anywhere visible, and certainly the government.
The government are going
to make sure that it isn't, because they're saying that the social welfare code will be used through the supplementary welfare to protect people who, quite frankly, can't pay.
But am I wrong? Am I wrong? We're facing an unprecedented crisis, and we have seen price hikes like we've never seen before in the energy bills that we get in through the door, and more price hikes to come. We're told as well.
What I heard
from that, we'll bring in Lynn Boyd in just a second, but what I heard is that disconnections is still an option for the companies. Is that right? Am I reading that correctly?
That wasn't quite frankly addressed today. What was indicated was that the companies and the government will go to the greatest extent possible to ensure that nobody gets cut off. The moratorium is there to protect one sector. There's support available from the state through the supplementary welfare fund that will ensure, if people engage with it, will ensure that nobody will go cold this winter, or nobody will be that.
Taoiseach has made that claim, and he'll stand over it. Is that clear enough, Lynn Boylan, for you, based on what the government has said and what you heard today at the committee?
No, not at all. I mean, look, you don't want to be frightening people, but the moratorium for vulnerable customers is from October to the end of March. But the broader moratorium only applies during December to February. And again, prepay customers could be disconnected and are self-disconnecting because they can't afford to pay their bills. And that's why, as Sinn Féin called for that moratorium on disconnections to run for the fuel allowance period, because we are in an unprecedented time with more and more people entering into energy poverty because of the increasing costs.
So the moratorium on disconnection doesn't apply to prepay customers?
No, what you have as well is prepaid customers are doing what's called self-disconnecting because they're not actually able to afford to top up. And this is has been a bone of contention for myself, but also for the likes of St. Vincent de Paul, who they're dealing with people on the cold face every day. And they know that they're seeing an increase in people who are self-disconnecting. So they just physically, they cannot afford to top up their meter. The energy suppliers know this. I asked Electric Ireland today. They said, yes, they were seeing a trend in that. But yet when I put it to the CRU only 2 weeks ago, they said it was anecdotal, that they didn't have the numbers to back it up and that people were self-disconnecting as a lifestyle choice.
But people are
choosing to sit in the dark. It is bizarre to hear from a regulator.
But the Taoiseach also said, Timmy Dooley, that the government will guarantee people on pay-as-you-go energy tariffs will not be disconnected this winter. My question is how? Because the CRU are saying, we don't know who these people are. We don't have that data.
Well, the word disconnect is being used liberally here because it's not a disconnection. It's just that in some cases, people haven't the wherewithal to put the money in the meter. What the Taoiseach has said is through the social welfare code, through supplementary welfare, they will be able to access monies to provide for heating their home and using electricity during that winter.
How do you identify them?
Well, they're going to have to present, Cormac.
Themselves?
They do present. Well, sorry,
yes, this is the problem.
So hang on. So you're expecting people to put your hand up and say, sorry, I can't pay my bill, help me.
No, sorry. You're suggesting that they're doing it in the public. They go to the social welfare code. These people generally have very good interaction with their social welfare officers in their area. There is monies made available and there will be more monies made available through the social welfare code, through the supplementary welfare format, to provide them with an appropriate level of funding.
But I didn't know that. That's something new to me now. You're telling us that government policy is now, if you're a pay-as-you-go customer and you're struggling with putting light and heat into your house, that you go to the social welfare office, you put your hand up and say, I can't pay, help me. Is that it? Is that government policy?
I think the language that's been used, you put your hand up, is sometimes that you're in a crowd and you have to expose yourself. That's not the case.
Well, what are you
doing? There is an interaction. I'm saying that they go to their social welfare office. They deal with it as they do with many other difficulties that arise. There are always, and always has been, a supplementary welfare budget made available to assist people who have a crisis from time to time. Sometimes that's in relation to a bill that they can't pay. Sometimes it's in relation to a family event, a health issue.
So it'll be discretionary and confidential, as it always has been.
Of course it's confidential, and of course it's discretionary, but the Taoiseach has made it very clear that the fund has to be and will be used to assist people who are in energy poverty this is the
problem, Cormac. First and foremost, I mean, you're penalised for being on a pay-as-you-go meter. You pay a higher tariff, and generally suppliers are not pushing these pay-as-you-go, but they're recommending them, and they're not doing an analysis where you would see in other countries where they would undertake an assessment whether or not a prepay meter is actually suitable for that person or whether it's a way to make sure that they don't fall into arrears. But then when someone is on a prepay meter, what Timmy Dooley is saying, and that I suppose that the government now is aligning with the CRU, is that the onus falls on the person themselves to make themselves known. You have a whole cohort of people. Yes, there are people who may have engaged with the St. Vincent de Paul on and off over their lifetime, but there are people now who are entering into energy poverty who may have had a pay-as-you-go meter and that might never have accessed those sort of facilities.
It's not accessing through Vincent de Paul. It's accessing through the Department of Social Welfare. Let's be clear about this.
It's the issue is that you're asking that the onus is on the customer to make themselves known as somebody
because with respect to the state, the budget is providing €600, which was announced today, €200 energy credits, which will be provided also to these people. So it's not just that they're going to
have to rely on the CRU. The CRU told me last week at the committee that they didn't have the numbers and that people were self-disconnecting in some cases a lifestyle choice. I don't know someone who's choosing to sit in the dark. What Electric Ireland told us today and what the St. Vincent de Paul have flagged in their policy documents is they know that there is an increasing number of people who are self-disconnecting. They have the data.
So how would Sinn Féin help them, Lynn?
The electricity suppliers have the data. What we need is the CRU to be collating that from all of the suppliers and I suppose tracking the trends and putting in place a code of practice for suppliers to engage with those customers who are self-disconnecting,
and
clearly in difficulty. So they need to engage with them. They need to be proactive,
to what
supplier.
End?
So, I mean, contacting them, asking them, is there a reason why you're self-disconnecting? Is it that you're out of the country, or is it the fact that you can't afford to top up your meter, and how can we best help you?
And let's say they can't afford, which is obvious. Prices have gone, crazy. So let's say the householder says, I can't afford. What then? What does Sinn Féin suggest?
Well, then people can identify themselves either that they're eligible to go on a hardship.
You've just taken the scenic route to what the government is proposing.
No. What I mean, when the energy supplier contacts you and you have a conversation and have dedicated staff to engage with customers, not that the onus is on the customer to contact the supplier knows who these customers are.
But the only difference, Lynn, I put to you is that you've gone a scenic route to getting the energy company to contact the customer as opposed to the customer directly going into the social protection office and saying, look, I need a bit of help with this over the winter months.
No, the CRU needs to be far more proactive in engaging, in telling the suppliers that they have to engage proactively with the customers. Instead, every time the CRU comes before the committee, they tell us that the onus is on the customer and not on the supplier.
They don't know, you see, who these people
are. They are the
regulator. The CRU has said that they've already told the department that making any additional credits to pay-as-you-go customers is difficult, they say, because the metering systems cannot provide the data to identify these people. They basically don't know who they are.
But the issue is the CRU are constantly saying that there's nothing they can do and they have to leave it up to the market. If that's the case, then the minister needs to change the remit and give the CRU the teeth to be able to carry out its job.
Come here to me. Let's talk about standing charges for a second, because it was well versed in the committee today as well. That's something that Electric Ireland has done recently, increasing their standing charges. Let's hear how David Vickers from Electric Ireland told the Oireachtas Environment Committee about this afternoon.
We decided it was a better allocation of those costs to put some of it on standing charge and less of it on the unit rate. It doesn't go to generate any extra net revenue for us as a business. We just felt it was a more appropriate management of those costs to put some of it on a standing charge so we could lessen the impact we would have to put on the unit rate.
What did you make of that?
I objected to it because, quite frankly, what it acts as is a disincentive for people who are in a position to conserve energy. We're all being told by state regulators, by people who are conscious about climate change, that we should try to be more judicious about the use of our electricity. And the way you do that is to give a better pricing model. And we have been told with the introduction of smart meters that if we use electricity in the off-peak period, we'll get it at a much cheaper rate. But when you start lumping more of the contribution from the consumer onto the standing charge and away from the per unit rate, it's acting as a disincentive to be more careful about your use of electricity. And it's rewarding, in my view, those that are heavier users of electricity.
It's
socialising the cost. Well, I think the regulator will have to look at it.
Lynn
and I and others on the committee have had a series of meetings now with some of the actors.
Pushing it to the regulator, Lynn.
No, the regulator clearly told the committee that they don't have the legislative framework to do it. So it's up to Minister Ryan to change the legislation to allow them to have further scrutiny over the standing charges. They were very clear. It was absolutely categorical. They do not have the legislative framework to look at how the standing charges are being, how they're being calculated and how they're being implemented by the suppliers. So Minister Ryan needs to now bring the legislation to enable the CRU to start regulating how the standing charges are calculated.
Yeah, what it requires of the regulator, in my view, is to seek those powers. I don't believe they have done so yet, and that's the way it'll work. They know best what they need to implement these kind of restrictions, which I think are neither helpful from a climate change perspective or from a point of view of protecting the most vulnerable. The reality is that the system, as it's operating at the minute, means that those that are least well off, who are more conscious and more prudent about the use of electricity, are carrying a greater burden for those who use a lot more electricity.
So we're stuck in the the mud on the standing charges. Before I move on to something else, the €200 electricity credits that were announced in the budget, we got a little bit more detail on how it's going to work today. They'll be paid in November, €200 in January and €200 in March. But Timmy Dooley, the opposition is saying that this has been eaten up by inflation already. Is there any chance that they would be increased, those figures?
Well, it's been eaten up by inflation. That was the purpose of putting it in place. It wasn't about resolving the cost of electricity. It was about addressing the increase in the cost of electricity. And I think it will go a long ways towards that. But what the government have also said was that they had retained some monies from this year's exchequer, that in the event of wholesale prices of electricity or the price of gas going up further than predicted, that they would have the firepower to address further supports for customers over the coming months after February and March and onwards.
And Sinn Féin is saying it's not enough, quite simply. Can I ask you about the concrete levy, though, Lynn? It's something that Sinn Féin wants abolished altogether. What's the rationale behind it? Because the government is saying, look, we need that money to put into to micro redress scheme and other redress schemes as well in relation to building. So what do you do if you don't have the concrete levy?
Well, can I come back to the issue of the credits, the energy credits first? Because what we really want to hear is what the government are going to do to make sure that those households who missed out on that energy credit in the first tranche, which we flagged in advance of the credit being brought out, we have repeatedly brought it up, particularly around customers, travellers on halting sites. Will they now retrospectively get the €200 credit, and will we get a guarantee that they're not going to miss out on the credits for this winter? That is absolutely essential. When you had a system that meant that holiday homes and vacant homes were getting the €200 credit, yet many travellers who pay a significantly disproportionate amount of money.
And you want that clarified
ASAP. We want that clarified.
And can I ask you,
but also that they will be retrospectively paid for what they missed out on last winter, because there was a €20 million underspend on that energy credit, and that went to buy emergency
and that's
gas.
That's definitely something we are going to keep an eye on the programme as well. But I was asking you about the motion you have to scrap the concrete levy. It's on tonight, isn't it?
It's been debated in the Dáil tonight. Yeah, it's a Sinn Féin PMB. And what we want is that levy is broadened out to include a banking levy and to go after the developers as well. And so that it's not passed on then to the first customers. But I'm sure there'll be more detail when it's debated in the Dáil.
Is there any way
tonight
you can defend this levy, Timmy Dooley? Well, I mean, Sean Canny, your old mate, he's an independent now. He says this is basically a levy on young house buyers.
No, I don't. I'd reject that aspect of it. I think the detail will have to be worked out in the Finance Act. Certainly, first-time buyers, there needs to be some comfort there. But the reality is there is a huge, huge cost coming down the track for defective blocks and defective building works. And that's going to have to be carried by the state. And the state have only recourse to their taxpayers for money. So the levy is being introduced.
So house buyers?
It's going to come from the concrete industry. So it's people who use concrete.
They'll pass it on to the house buyers.
Yeah.
That's
so,
what they said.
So yes, they did, yeah. And there's no other way.
And it's the result of Fianna Fáil, lack of regulation on building supplies in the past that's led to the need for this levy.
I'll take no lectures from you, Lynn, on that. Now, there was a very famous builder who I think left a property in the centre of Dublin in a very defective manner.
I'll take lectures from listeners. 51551, scrap the levy or not? You can let me know your rationale as well. My standing charge for gas for the past 2 months is bigger than MH usage costs. It's an absolute disgrace. Bigger than my usage costs, says a listener. It's a disgrace trying to cut down gas usage but being fleeced by the suppliers, says Siobhan in Limerick. And one more, there might be people who've never interacted with social welfare who'll run into prepay electric trouble. What of them? And that's what we're trying to clarify. We'll leave it there for the moment. Senator Timmy Dooley, Senator Lynn Boylan, Fianna Fáil agus Sinn Féin, Faoi Seach, míle buíochas, Lán.